Congress spent weeks crafting and voting on various measures to reform the American healthcare system, with, so far, nothing to show for it. But there are still plenty of important measures awaiting lawmakers' attention, and not many days left to tackle them. Things like the annual defense authorization bill, emergency funding for the VA, and finding a way to keep the government open past September 30th. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call, and he joins us now, as he does every week, to bring us up to speed on happenings on Capitol Hill. And David, we can talk in just a minute about whether last week's events really were the end of the road for some kind of healthcare bill. But assuming for just a minute that Congress is ready to move on to other things, by my count, at least in the House, there are 12 legislative days left before the end of the fiscal year, 48 left in the calendar year, and still a lot to do. So what can we expect to see members spend their time on?
Well, your numbers match my numbers. I think September is going to be, to nobody's surprise, it will be the customary self-induced anxiety about whether they will get a CR done by the end of September, the so-called continuing resolution that keeps the government open for the start of the new fiscal year. Congress has finished no appropriations bills. The House, before going home for the summer, had passed four of them. They bundled up the four politically easiest bills into one and passed that one. The Senate has done a few in committee. So when they come back in the fall, a dozen days to figure out for how long into October, November, maybe even December, they are going to just keep the government running at last year's levels. And then as part of that, creating even more anxiety, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said just on Monday that September 28th or 29th, so effectively the end of the fiscal year, was a hardening deadline for when the debt ceiling needed to go up. In other words, when the government needed Congress's permission to borrow more than, I believe it's $17 trillion, in order to avoid a default. And that, of course, has become one of the great potential political hostages of the last decade.
And do you have any sense whether the controversy over raising the ceiling is going to be any different in an all-Republican government compared to during the Obama administration?
I do have a sense, and I think the short answer is no, because really the conflict during the Obama years was between Obama and the Republicans in Congress, but a similar standoff exists between the hardline conservative Republicans, especially in the House, who want to take that debt limit language essentially hostage, and so we won't vote to raise the debt limit unless we get something in return, and what we want in return is hard and fast spending cuts in going out into the future that will, in theory, would slow the rate of debt increase. And then on the other side, the mainstream Republicans, including the White House and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, who say this is the wrong thing to hold hostage. We need to just have a crisp and clean debt ceiling increase. Mnuchin is on that one side. Mick Mulvaney, the head of OMB, a former member of that kind of confrontational conservative wing in the House, has been the leader of the wing in the White House that says we should use this as leverage to get something else. But so I think ultimately the dynamic hasn't changed, even though we now have a unified government, not a divided one.
And how about the defense bill? That seems like it's something that the Senate could have worked on if it stayed true to its original plan to work through the August recess. But as you were telling me a little bit off air, it doesn't look like that's even going to happen.
No, it does not. The original thinking was that the defense bill was going to get done even last Friday. In one day, there was some informal negotiating that was going on. That, as a sort of a tribute to Senator McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who, as most listeners know, has a very aggressive form of brain cancer, just diagnosed, and so came back from Arizona to D.C. for the health care bill, and he thought for Senate debate and passage of the annual NDAA defense authorization bill. It didn't work out that way, perhaps in part because when McCain voted no on that bill, on that health bill, and kind of provided one of the three Republican votes that sank the health bill, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, was no longer in the mood to do him any favors. But probably more importantly than that, the bill was going to become at least one of the big amendments, the big divisive amendments, was going to be about whether to whether to repeal or sunset the authorization for the use of military force enacted after September 11th and require Congress to come up with a new AUMF, as it's called, to authorize the use of the military in the current wars against terrorism. Mitch McConnell didn't want, I think, another divisive fight that was going to split his caucus right after the health care bill, so he decided to do this bill in September.
And I could have seen the issue of transgender service members following President Trump's tweet becoming an issue on the floor as well.
It absolutely could have, although the Pentagon themselves seemed to make that one slightly go away when they said we will wait for what I think one of them called a real order before proceeding to act on the president's tweet. But yes, I mean, so the idea was McCain was going to come back. He was only going to be able to be in town for a few days before he needs to begin his chemotherapy and radiation treatment back in Arizona. That is a tribute to him. They would move the NDAA in just a day or two. It didn't work out that way. That's kind of the way the Senate works. It was a long shot, maybe to begin with. Even though they wanted to be nice to McCain, other things got in the way.
What about big things like tax reform? I mean, we've been told that that's a priority, but is there any appetite right now to bite off a giant, complicated wicket like that?
There certainly is an appetite among some, but they are struggling. The Republicans, you know, this is a bit of a broken record here. The healthcare, if it had gotten done, was going to be the easier one. When compared to the tax bill, we haven't done a tax bill of this magnitude, or the magnitude the Republicans are talking about, since the mid 1980s, since 1986, and to get it done would require another budget vote, another vote to set up one of these 51 vote thresholds for enactment of a tax bill. The House Republicans could not, before the recess, come up with a consensus view about what that budget should look like. The reason tax reform doesn't happen year after year after year is that there are so many lawmakers and interest groups and industries and trade associations and other people with strong lobbying influence that are benefiting from the tax code the way it is now, and certainly don't want to put their particular benefit at risk for something that would be called simplification or even a tax cut. So, even on Monday, there was some talk by some lawmakers who said, we haven't given up, we can still get this done by Thanksgiving, they were even saying. I think that is a very ambitious timetable.
So on health care, the polling would suggest that voters are ready for Congress to move on, but the White House, the president specifically, still seems to be pressing Congress to take the issue back up again. What are the chances that are they anywhere as remote as tax reform is?
I think the odds are that people will keep trying. I think one of the things I haven't said, Jared, is it looks like the Senate is, which was going to stay around for two weeks into August, that actually Mitch McConnell had actually postponed the start of the summer August recess for the Senate by 2 weeks. It looks like he is going to run out of things for the Senate to do probably by the middle of the week, because health care is not coming back. This defense bill is not coming back. The only real thing that they really, really want to do now, between now and going home, is confirm Chris Wray as the new FBI director. That having been said, there are talks that are continuing all the time by not just Republicans, but by Republicans and Democrats to try and come up with some health care bill. It does seem like the talk is shifting somewhat, that no matter what the president says and no matter how much he tells them to demand another vote, the math isn't changing, and all Republican bill to revisit health insurance markets doesn't seem to be able to pass, hasn't been able to pass really for 7 years, still can't pass, and so it's going to need to be a bipartisan effort. There was on Monday an unveiling of some work by a bipartisan group of 40 or some odd House members who call themselves the Problem Solvers Caucus. They're essentially the most conservative Democrats and the most moderate Republicans, that's about propping up the health insurance markets, that is about doing the opposite of what the president now at least says he wants to do, which is watch Obamacare fail. These lawmakers want, in a bipartisan way, to try and do something to give the insurance markets some stability.
So in other words, their last option here may be to actually do something through regular order. Gasp.
Gasp. Exactly right. You said it, I didn't, but yes. I mean, or at least regular order being, that when if you can't pass a bill with the votes only on your side, you go searching for the other side. But whether it could somehow slide through Congress without committee hearings or markups or that kind of regular order, yet to be seen. But at least this is the regular order of, you know, sometimes bipartisanship's the only way to get things done.
All right. David Hocking, senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks as always, David.
Thank you, Jared.